the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Yay! Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 173, what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed. We have got a great show planned for you this week, folks. The wonderful couple... Wonderful married couple, Sean Nelson and Shenandoah Davis are going to join us shortly here in the backyard. I love these people. I've been getting to know them, for the better part of a year and a half, maybe a little bit longer. They're just wonderful. They're just fantastic. They're both extremely talented. Of course, Sean Nelson has been on the show before, way back. He was one of, the first, professional musicians that we had on this show. He, of course, was in the front man for the band Harvey Danger. Shenandoah Davis is a solo performer here in Seattle, if you don't know. That is just a fantastic person and has got one of the most unique voices out there. Especially in the Seattle scene, I would say in music now, in music going, well, maybe not so much that. I don't know. She's just great. So we'll be featuring music by both of those artists throughout the episode today. I don't know why I just sounded somewhat Irish, but sometimes I just slip into it. I just slip into it, guys. The president of the United States has been in my neighborhood all day today. I don't know why they wouldn't have, looked into this, but, I don't think the Secret Service, really took into account that I got day drunk, today, at a baby shower. I don't think they took that into account. I mean, they were flying their helicopters all over my neighborhood for the last 2 hours. Ugh. While I was trying to sleep it off. Well, both me and my daughter were trying to sleep it off. They did okay to quell or to squash the conspiracy theorists. They do not have silent running helicopters. Although I will say they do sound a little bit different. They're maybe a little bit quieter. I don't know. It sounded like they were super close though. I was too busy laying in my bed to go out and check. But I'm sure they were black. I'm sure they were black helicopters for all you conspiracy guys out there. Speaking of conspiracy, a lot of stuff going around about JFK, like the shooting, it being the anniversary and all. The week of the anniversary of the assassination of JFK. A lot of stuff just swirling around the internet about, people's thoughts. About what actually happened and things like that. Did you know? I did not know this, but there was a commission, the Warren Commission. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that. Came out and said that there was probably some sort of conspiratorial factors in the shooting death of JFK, a beloved American president. I had no idea. I mean, it always seems suspicious, right? I mean, if there's enough people out there that find that whole thing suspicious, then there's probably something with that, right? Who knows who did it? Maybe it was the mob. I don't know. Of course, the mob, I mean, they had Jack Ruby come and kill Lee Harvey Oswald as they were walking him down a hall. Was that? Was he walking down a hall? I can't remember. I don't know. Yeah, Jack Ruby, he was tied to the mob. Right? Wasn't he? I saw that movie with Joe Pesci long time ago. But yeah, I don't know enough about that stuff to keep on talking about it. So we'll just move on here. Oh man, I hope you guys had a good week. I had a great weekend, man. This weekend was just fantastic. Friday night, Camaro Kev and Newman and I and another guy named Eric, we all went out to go see one of a great band from the 1990s. Great band, Helmet. I don't know if I would say they were one of my favorites, but definitely really, really liked the album In the Meantime. And, they're a super heavy band. I had never seen them live, and they come to Seattle quite often. Well, not quite often, but, you know, from time to time. And Camaro Kev, man, he has not missed a show of them coming to Seattle in like 10, 15 years, something like that. And we go to this show, and I didn't know what to expect. I mean, you know, I knew that they were going to be good. They've been doing it for long enough. Paige Hamilton, the lead guitarist and singer, is, you know, an amazing musician. Composes classical music and does scores for movies now and stuff like that. And he still tours with a roving band of players that go as Helmet. So I knew it was going to be good, but man, it melted my face off how good it was. It was awesome. And we were like right up there, man, right up in front. Took some great little shots of Paige Hamilton. He kind of scowled at me a little bit at one point for taking a picture on my cell phone. I don't know if he was judging me for using a cell phone or just judging me for taking a picture. Maybe he's a purist. I don't know if I should have had like an actual camera. I don't know. But man, what a great show. Holy shit. And I'll tell you what, it was at the Crocodile here in Seattle, and it felt like when we walked in there, man, it was like dudes wearing flannels that were, you know, wrapped around their waist. It was like we instantly walked back in time. It felt kind of weird at first, but then it was like instantly comfortable. You're in Seattle. You're here to see it like a band from basically that had their heyday back in the 90s. You're there to just like fucking rock, right? You're going to be wearing flannel that's tied around your waist. Kind of the weird part about it is that we showed up in an Uber, like a really nice, you know, Oldsmobile car. Isn't that what it is? Or a Cadillac? Maybe it was a Cadillac. Cadillac. Show up in this black Cadillac, right? And we all pile out of this thing. We go into the venue. And as we're walking in, I can hear one of the like bouncer guys who's just all grizzled and, you know, probably been working the door at the Crocodile for the last like 40 years. He's like, man, I'd have them drop me off on the corner in that thing. The fuck does that mean, man? It's a car. It's a taxi, basically. Give me a break. So I didn't show up in like some Pinto, right? 1974 Pinto that was falling apart. What, not grunge enough for you, staff member? Anyway. Yeah, so the show was amazing. And I'll tell you what, when I go back and I see bands play that I never was able to see when I was a teenager, because, you know, I, first of all, didn't grow up in Seattle, so it was harder to get over here to see shows when I was a kid. And so I'm seeing all these bands now that, you know, I never got a chance to see back in the 90s when I was a teenager. And all these things, all these, like, feelings are rushing back into my body. And I want to do all the things that I couldn't do, even at the shows that I was able to go to. Like, I was a small kid, man. Like, I would have gotten my ass handed to me if I jumped into, like, a mosh pit or did stage diving or, you know, whatever. Stage dove, you know? But, man, the last couple times I've seen 90s bands, I've gotten right in there. I went and saw Seaweed, this band, I loved Seaweed back in the 90s. Went and saw Seaweed in Tacoma play a long time ago. Well, 6-7 years ago, maybe. And I stage dove. I'd always wanted to do it, so I stage dove, and their hands were literally everywhere. Luckily, I had my wallet in my, like, coat pocket, which my then-girlfriend was holding. That girlfriend now is my wife. It was so much fun. And so at the Helmet show, I ran into the, they played the song In the Meantime, and I had to go into that mosh pit. And I'll tell you what, these were all really old dudes, bigger than me still, But I had to go get into that mosh pit, and I almost got pushed to the ground right when I walked in, man. And it was intense. It was intense. I don't know if I'd ever been in a mosh pit like that before, because yeah, people were going for it, man. People were going for it. They were just pushing you so hard, knocking you up against the rail that was, on one side of the stage. It was nuts, but it was so much fun. But I will tell you this. It stunk. It was a very smelly mosh pit, because everybody there, anybody who knows Helmet, is probably going to be, most likely they're going to be in their 40s or in their mid 30s, right? Mid 30s to late 40s. So everybody at that concert, and they're all male. Like it was a very, you know, very not very mixed crowd there. Mostly male in mid 30s to late 40s. Why can't I talk? I don't know. But it was, man, it was a fun show. It was great. It was great. Got pushed around a little bit. Probably got some sweat. I need to wash those clothes. I need to wash them now. Hey, just a reminder, we're going to be doing this thing, this gathering at Naked City Brewery. You know, Naked City Brewery, the sponsors to this fine program here. We are going to be getting together for a Seahawks game on December 15th. Seahawks are playing the Giants in New York. So that means that it's going to be an early game here in Seattle. So what Naked City's doing is they're putting together a little breakfast for us. And we're going to go over there and chill out and watch the Seahawks game on this huge screen, drink some great beer, drink some coffee, mix a little OJ in with some nice light beer from Naked City. You're going to like that. Trust me, you're going to really like it. But they're going to make us some awesome breakfast. We're going to go hang out and watch the game at 10 a.m., kickoff at 10, guys. Doors are going to open at 9. So it's going to be a great time. And I want all of you guys to come. Anybody who can, please come and join us at Naked City Brewery on Greenwood Avenue on December 15th. Sunday, December 15th. I hope you guys can make it. And for all the details, why don't you guys join us on our Facebook page, the Air Raid Facebook page, and I'm going to send out a big old invite to all you people. I hope I can do that. I don't know. I've never tried doing that before. But it's going to be really chill. We're just going to hang out at Naked City Brewery and Tap House and eat and be merry and drink and be merry. Right? They're on Greenwood Avenue, 8564 Greenwood Avenue North, Seattle, Washington. So it's gonna be fantastic, and it'll be early enough too. You can get lunch there as well, right? Hopefully they have those biscuits and gravy. Man, we went there for an early game a couple weeks ago. Me and Camaro Kev, and man, had some biscuits and gravy. It was so nice. So come out and join us once again, December 15th, guys, Naked City Brewery and Tap House. I am drinking right now. I'm drinking one of their Duplicity Ales. I think it's like a Belgian. I think that's what you would call it. Man, is it good. And I'll tell you what, you could probably tell it's getting on top of me a little bit. I got day drunk earlier today. I need to keep that feeling going, right? Yeah, keep it going. Do I just sound like the worst dad in the world? Probably. Maybe I should stop talking about getting drunk and wish you all a happy Thanksgiving and then get into the show, right? Yeah, I've chatted long enough, guys. I have chatted long enough. Come and meet us at Naked City and have a fantastic, fantastic Thanksgiving, you guys. We'll see you on the other end of it. Let's see. Our first musical break. We're featuring songs by Sean Nelson and by Shenandoah Davis. And this one, off of Sean Nelson's, new solo album called Make Good Choices. The song is also called Make Good Choices, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. So stick with us. All right, we'll be back in a moment with Sean and Shenandoah. Stick around.
Everything's all right. It's just I think of you sometimes. I like to stay up after midnight and listen for the chimes we used to hear. So loud and clear, but I haven't heard that song in years. Oh, was old man when I learned I couldn't count on you, when I was my most desperate, when nothing that you said was true, and breaking down my esprit de corps was your most beloved chore.
Now, no one will ever get to hear the amazing story about all the post-apocalyptic movies that both of you have seen and I haven't seen.
I know. I know. There's going to have to be a third time when you come back on the show and we just rehash that whole conversation.
Just talk about movies.
Yeah.
That'll be a special one. A very special episode of Air Raid.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Sean, again,
Aaron.
Welcome back to the Air Raid podcast.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah. Shenandoah, thank you for joining us for the very first time.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to try to do like some, there's this movie quote where it's like, I think it's from Spaceballs. It's like, welcome back for the first time of the last time when you were here for the first time. Something like that. I don't know. Very convoluted.
Hilarious.
Yeah. Just make it as awkward as possible. Yeah. Like I was saying, I'm a little bit more familiar with you guys. But when I first met you, Sean, in particular, mm-hmm. I was very nervous.
Yes. Well, you that makes two of us.
You always come across to me as a very intelligent person. And you do as well, Shenandoah. And like I... When I met you for the first time, Sean, I was very, very nervous because I feel like I'm not very smart.
Mm.
And I definitely can't, like, debate people, you know?
I disagree.
What?
That was a debate. Classic debate.
See,
tactic.
That was so smart.
Boom.
That was very smart what you just did there. And so I was super nervous when you first came on this show the last time, 2 years ago, maybe
yeah,
three.
Seems about right.
I was extremely nervous.
Well, I hope that I demonstrated to you that all that reputation I might have for being a public intellectual is really just down to the fact that I wore glasses in public before everybody else started doing it.
And you're taller than most.
And I'm
people.
Very tall. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, now I'm not as nervous, and I just, you know, I really screwed up that first recording, and yeah,
well,
so there we go.
Well, if it's any consolation, I'm now a lot more nervous that the stuff we say isn't going to get recorded.
Yeah.
It's just all
oh, this, wonderful.
All these gems.
Wonderful.
We wrote some really amazing jokes to tell you
I know,
on the car ride on the way over here. And
now they're just gone. Oh. They're lost in the wind.
We just have the punchlines now.
Well, this is something that I've wanted to set up for quite some time. having you guys on because I've always wanted to talk to a couple musicians that may be in a relationship together and find out how those dynamics work on like a tour or, you know, in the band room. Because when I saw you guys at Sasquatch, Shenandoah, you were playing keys for Sean's band, right? And by the way, very, very good show.
Thanks.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. And I don't own the album. I was hoping you'd bring a copy of it for me.
Did you rent it? there might be a copy in the car. There aren't very many copies left. We've sold through
really?
The...
Really? Well, that's really good to know.
Yeah.
Because it is a very good album.
Thank you. Yeah. I sold through the entire first pressing of the vinyl and I think of the CDs as well.
Oh, good. Good.
I'm assuming there's going to be a second pressing, but it's really not up to me. The guy who the label that put it out is really just basically one guy.
Oh, okay.
And he's a great guy, and I always feel a certain amount of guilt or trepidation about saying, so would you like to spend some more money now and make some more copies of this?
Right, right.
But he's been really great about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But I'm sure we could scare you up a copy.
I would love one.
Yeah.
Shenandoah, did you record some of those tunes?
We haven't recorded anything over here? Together
no?
yet. No.
Oh, okay.
No, all our... that record was finished... Well, it was finished several times, but it was...
I recognize some of the songs on there are like stuff that you had brought over the first time you were here.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I mean, that record basically was... it was about 9 years all told in the making.
Really?
Yeah. But I would not say I was working on it the whole time.
Right.
9 years of, you know, taking a step forward and then abandoning it and then coming back to it.
Yeah.
But it was done before I met Shenandoah. And her record also was done before I met her. And so we've performed together quite a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, she has played piano and keyboard and sung harmony vocals in my band, which she more or less put together anyway for me because I can't do anything. And then I have also been, I've done a lot of shows with her singing harmonies on her songs.
Oh, okay.
And so we've definitely done that, but we haven't done any kind of actual kind of collaboration on new things yet. I think we're both eager to do it at some point, but it's really hard to do. And if you start an artistic collaboration from the position of being, you know, either really good friends or, you know, married partners or whatever, the likelihood of a disagreement or something becoming a personal disagreement is so strong.
Well, and that's what I wanted to ask you guys about too, because like, I mean, there are, you know, when I was playing music with other people, there would be band fights, right? Like you get into disagreements with people and then, but if you're like in a relationship with the person that you're playing music with, like you bring that home as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, so has that happened between you two yet? I say yet because it will, right?
Who, us?
I mean, we have, yeah. I mean, we've had plenty of fights, but they don't. We have not yet trod on the turf of, you know, I think that part should be, you know, four lines shorter, and no, I think it needs to be how long it is, and well, you don't really know anything about that because it's bad enough. Being in a band is such a minefield of conflict and avoidance of conflict and all that stuff. There's no way when you get into the thing, you know, when you are in a band for a while, there's no way when you start fighting about something, you know, the cover art or, you know, like a song arrangement or a guitar sound or whatever, there's no way to not have the whole history of how you have communicated become part of that fight. So like,
but
you're still fighting about something that happened 10 years ago. Or whatever.
Right. But you guys both are kind of solo acts, mm-hmm. right? You'd consider yourself a solo act, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you kind of have the power there, right? Like, making those decisions. Like, everybody coming into your band or playing with you should have that understanding, like, you know, there should be no gripes about,
right,
you know, yeah. how you want something arranged or something like that, right?
Yeah, and I feel like we've both been really good about doing that with each other.
Uh-huh.
We both have a lot of experience being the backing person.
Yeah, yeah.
In someone else's band.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that we haven't had disagreements about it, is because when I'm coming into one of Sean's songs or he's coming into one of mine.
Right, right.
The goal is just to make the other person's song however they want it to be.
Uh-huh.
That's true. I mean, in all candor, I have never... I mean, we started playing shows. My record came out in June, I think. And we started playing shows just before that.
Okay.
And, you know, we've only been playing really for, whatever, 6 months.
Yeah.
And prior to that, I had put together a couple of, you know, abortive attempts at a band that was called Sean Nelson. But I just don't, it's not a position I feel especially comfortable with, because I was in Harvey Danger for 15 years.
Right.
And that band was, for all its faults, which were many, it was a democracy in the sense that, like, every member was entitled to weigh in on every decision.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And you know, that makes for slow progress, but it also makes for everybody feeling equal sense of ownership.
Yes.
Yeah. And the problem with having a band that's your band and you are more or less hiring people and not paying them as much as you should, or, you know, like as much as they might be worth, but there's right, just no right. money to do that. And everybody,
or is, you can, right?
Right. Everybody is, everybody's basically on board with that plan,
mm-hmm.
but it means that the onus of every decision is ultimately on you. And sometimes you don't know what you want it to sound like until you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be indecisive is, I think, in a lot of kind of group scenarios, that is the same thing as being weak or wasting your time. And so you feel right. like, okay, I have to make a decision. All right, it should be orange. And they're like, that's not what I asked you. But you just have to make a call. And yeah, so yeah. it's, I mean, I know people who need it to be that way. It needs to be their call. But I miss the more democratic band scenario.
Yeah. Only does it stress you out?
Like, it stresses me out to no end. Like uh-huh. it is almost debilitating,
yeah,
the stress
yeah.
of that. Because all the people who are in the band is Shenandoah and then these three guys who have their own band called Jenny Invert.
Right, right.
Sam, Gus, Sam. And Sean. They're all really good players, mm-hmm. and they're all really generous with their time and with their, like, they're just totally on board.
Yeah.
And so I don't always know what I want anything to be, or I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
is part of it, like, you don't want to come across as a dickhead?
Well,
like, you know, like,
I think
making
that ship
a decision
has sailed. Yeah, I mean, there's that.
Yeah,
are plenty of people who I have seen in my life make decisions for the sake of seeming decisive.
Right, right.
And who, like, just throw their weight around and then equally have a terrible time admitting how wrong they were,
right.
and you know, like, making a revision to that original,
yeah,
you know, decision. Yeah. And that's one thing that has never worried me. I've always been pretty good about being, mm-hmm. like, I think this is an idea, but maybe it isn't. Well, let's just try it. I'm really sorry for existing.
I'm so sorry, you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's a lot more for me. It's a lot more like that. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to waste anyone's time, especially if they're being generous enough to give their time.
Right, right.
And, you know, like, particularly when one of them is the person I live with and am in love with. And so,
yeah.
And, you know, like, Shenandoah is kind of well before we were involved with each other. She was a kind of musical hero figure to me. I just really love her music, and she's so she's incredibly talented, and talented in a way that
someone's blushing.
she has a set of talents that I simply don't have, but she also she's also really generous, which is, I think, maybe the most important skill for a band member to have.
Yeah. Now, do you guys find that you click musically pretty well? Like when you, Shenandoah, when you first like played music with Sean, like did it kind of instantly click for you guys or what?
I was pretty nervous when I first.
Were you?
Well, and
get right up on that microphone.
That was a while ago. But
how did that come about? Like where, what was that? How did you guys first start
playing music?
Well,
it's a pretty cute story, Aaron.
Do tell.
Her name kept coming up just kind of around, and she had been gone and she had just come back, and I heard her name. We had met one time very briefly at some weird a cappella show that we were both singing at. And it was right after her record had come out.
Like at Fremont Abbey or something like that?
The very same.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And she was about to leave on a long tour, and I was, you know, like I met her and I remembered her. She's hard to forget. And but that was that. I mean, it wasn't like the bell had not yet been rung. But then I guess maybe 9 months later or so, there was a baby, and no.
I was gonna ask, whoa, where's that coming?
Hey, look out!
9 months.
I guess the bell had been rung. No, I just more or less what happened was that I heard her name. I was out at the Sorrento Hotel, and it was this public reading event that my friend puts together, which is, I love him, but it's just a terrible idea for a show. Reading is a solitary practice. Anyway, but I was there, and because Kyle, who I'd been playing music with, Kyle O'Quinn, was playing the piano at this thing, and I was hanging out with him. And toward the end of the night, this woman came in with a box of
cupcakes.
Yeah, pastries. I knew of some kind. So they're cupcakes, and she was like, "These were made by Shenandoah Davis," and I had just heard her name like somewhere else, and I was just like, "Oh, Shenandoah Davis, interesting." And then I went home, and I, you know, like stayed up till 5 a.m. looking at the computer as I often do, and I looked at Facebook, and there was a video posted that I don't know if she must have posted it initially, but somebody else had forwarded it saying, "You know, you got to check this out; it's amazing."
Is that for Proof?
No, it was for Oweo. It was a live thing they did at the Fremont Abbey.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I actually just watched that one today.
It's fantastic. Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I watched it and listened to it and basically just watched it like 8 or 9 more times. And I was just completely transfixed by it. And I went to her Bandcamp page and listened to her whole record and then bought it and then listened to it a bunch more, and then it really was like, oh look, the sun just came up, and I've been doing this whole night is listening to Shenandoah Davis music. So I wrote her a little fan mail thing that was like, look, this is, I don't know if you remember, but we met one time a long time ago, but I've been listening to your record all night, it's so good, I just, congratulations, thank you, blah blah blah. And
what are you thinking at this point? You get a random email from Sean Nelson, the guy from Harvey Danger.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
My record had come out at the beginning of August, and I had been so in and out of Seattle on tour that every time I came back, it was harder for me to get a job, and it was harder to keep a relationship going. All my friends were moving or were also on tour, or, you know, like, I hate to say it, but had other friends that I spent time with while I was gone.
Right, right.
And so I had kind of decided at that point just to be on tour for a long time and not even keep beginning and ending tours in Seattle and pretending that I was living here, because I just wasn't really. I was gone for 8 or 9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
So I had completely moved out and put my stuff into storage and gotten rid of a lot of it. And had just finished a 14-week tour of the States and happened to be back in Seattle for 2 weeks before I was going to Iowa to do an artist residency and then to New Zealand for another month and a half.
Oh, wow.
So I wasn't even living here anymore. But I happened to be in Seattle when I got this email from Sean, and I was just, I thought that it was really cool that I had gotten it, and it was so nice, and I appreciated it, and I told my old housemates about it because I was staying in my old house for a few days while I was in Seattle.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought it was so cool, and they thought it was cool. I remember one of my roommates was like, I waited on him once. But I neglected to reply to the email he had sent me.
And that was, you know, it was fine. I didn't,
and that's when the stalking started.
Yeah,
right?
Kind of. Well, I mean, a thing like that is obviously, like, a fan letter is a fan letter.
And, right, right.
And,
yeah.
And it doesn't, you don't expect a response. But then I also had this thought that this guy, Kyle, who I was playing music with then, we had a band together.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't have a name. We had our first show coming up. We got together because I'd been writing songs with Kyle. And then I got asked to headline the Reykjavik calling thing that KEXP does every year.
Totally.
This was 2 years ago. And so we decided to make these new songs into a band. And,
mm-hmm.
and then we were going to do our kind of first proper show at the Three Imaginary Girls holiday party that year.
Yeah.
And I just, I've always been a big believer in the music that finds you, you know, that there's a reason that it does. And that's it's about as superstitious or, you know, numinous as I am prepared to ever be. I don't believe in God or religion or anything like that, but I do like the...
You do wear a crystal, a quartz crystal from your neck.
Just it's wedged into my heart, sadly. I can't get it out of there. The thing will never stop bleeding. But I just sort of felt like, oh, this is an interesting scenario. And I there were a couple of the songs that I had always thought would be well served by a female harmony vocal.
Uh-huh.
And so I wrote again... Which is,
hoping that this time there would be a reply.
Right, well, right? Just to, or at least just to say, anyway, I wrote her again to ask if she would come and sing at this thing.
Yeah,
I think my tone the second time was a little bit less like, oh my God, you're the greatest thing ever. And a little bit more like, look, I'm really sorry that I exist, and I apologize for wasting your time, but I have this job for you. It pays nothing. And so she then did write back and agreed to come and sing these couple songs with us. And she did, and it was just very, you know, she came to rehearse with us, and that was really the first time we had actually properly met.
Uh-huh.
And... I don't know. I mean, we really haven't gone more than, I don't know, a few hours since then without seeing each other or at least being in touch. I mean, she was on tour a lot after that. But the romantic element of our relationship happened very soon after that show.
Yeah.
But there was definitely like the what I thought of as the chemistry was it was just hard to deny, and I wasn't interested in denying it, actually. I was interested in affirming it.
Well, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then how long before you guys got married?
A year exactly.
Really?
To the day of that show.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Excellent.
December 15th, 2011 was the show, and December 16th, 2011, and then December 16th, 2012.
I can't remember... I get those dates mixed up all the time.
I used to be incredibly good with like random dates.
Really?
Like, for some reason, I just always would remember that, you know, January 27th, 1995 was that one Pavement show at the at Mo that I really, you know, like I have a weird ability to remember those kind of decontextualized things. But when it comes to remembering what time I was supposed to be here,
right,
having been told about it by Shenandoah yesterday, it took me three tries. but to my credit, I did remember it. I mean, some of it is that I'm getting older, and some of it is that I take medication and it affects my memory. But some of it is just that I'm, I don't know.
It's, I don't know what it is for me, man, but I can barely even remember my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, I can, I, you know, I will literally forget it's my birthday.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, when it comes around. But yeah, and my wife, I mean, just gets madder than shit at me.
Yeah.
For, and I like mix up her birthday because I grew up with a guy named Kelly whose birthday was on like June 6th. And the only reason I remembered that is because my birthday is on June 26th and it has a six in it. And like, and so my wife's birthday is June 9th. And now I get her, like, I'm surprised that I remember that right now.
Yeah.
But I would always get her and my old, old friend Kelly's birthdays mixed up.
It's easy to do. Well, mine's June 12th, for what it's worth. Put that in your,
hey,
in your memory bank.
Yeah, so now I've got another date that I'm gonna, it's gonna mix in there, and now I'm gonna just think June 12th is my wife's birthday.
Excellent. It's also my I share a birthday with Anne Frank and George H.W. Bush.
Wow. Yeah. Two very different people.
Very different. Although, really, are any of us so different from one another?
Sean's kind of just right in the middle between those two.
Yeah.
He's the,
I'm
he's
sort
the
of
best.
An amalgam.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Both great writers.
And basically the same, probably artistic painting level.
Probably.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's go to our second musical break. We're featuring music by both Sean Nelson and Shenandoah Davis on this week's episode. This one is called Proof by Shenandoah. I love this song, by the way. And the video.
Thanks.
The video is great.
How, was it fun making that video?
Yeah, we filmed it in New Zealand.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. It's so amazing. Like, every time I see a picture of New Zealand, like, from the forest, I always think it's just Washington. You know? It's like, you know, ferns and ivy and tall trees.
The director... the director was from New Zealand, and he was really excited for that video to be showing off some of the New Zealand geography to a mostly American audience.
Right, right.
But we got to where we were filming it, and I was really like, this looks like Oregon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, there comes a time when some of you hippies are going to have to admit that all outside looks exactly like, like all other outside. There is
That's
no
true.
Difference between
That's true.
One forest and another.
That's right. That's right. I mean, Lord of the Rings could have just been filmed in the North Cascades.
Exactly.
You know, for all we know.
And I'm sure they attempted it at some point.
All right. This is Proof, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. And hopefully this time it will record all of this. Be right.
Thank you.
don't think, yank not this business.
Gross.
Wait, why are you guys' pants still on?
What? Yank it out, I said.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. So, Sean, you were involved in this thing the other night at EMP.
Yeah.
For Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah.
Would you care to tell us about this experience?
Yeah.
Because, holy smokes, man.
Yeah. It was, every year the EMP gives what they call a Founders Award.
Okay.
To some kind of big, you know, famous, legendary musician.
Right, right.
And it is a, it's a, part of it is that it's a huge, it's a big fundraiser for them.
Okay.
And they, you know, so they invite a lot of, donors and potential donors. And they,
industry folk.
Industry folk, but really more like just the rich people in Seattle who support, okay, who support big arts projects.
Right, right.
And I know a lot of people think of EMP as this, you know, like Paul Allen's toy box or whatever, but
yeah,
it's really not. I mean, it's a,
they do a lot of stuff.
They do. And it's a fully functioning, you know, museum, mm-hmm, and it's, you know, it had a large endowment to begin with, but they have, you know, they have to generate their own operating, you know, funds or whatever. So,
yeah, yeah.
But so they do these big events partly as a way of, you know, putting on a big show and actually honoring the artists in question, and also as a way to raise money.
Yeah,
I think it's one of the big ones that they
do. So they had Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Yeah, in prior years, last year I think they did Santana, and I was nowhere near that. I mean, I have nothing to contribute to a Santana event.
Yeah.
But a couple of years prior, they did Robbie Robertson from the band, and I sang. So they basically, they'll have a house band, and then they'll have local musicians
come and sing their songs
to them, and they're sitting in the crowd eating their dinner, and you're singing their songs to them, and it's... it's very weird. Crosby, Stills, and Nash were particularly odd, because, I mean, it's hard to do their songs because,
well, yeah,
their harmonies are not only really, you know, rich and distinctive.
Yeah,
they're super hard to do and really idiosyncratic, and they never. It is as though they went through and made them as tricky as possible.
Right, right. Were you involved with this too, Shenandoah?
No.
Were you singing for this?
No. Sean Colvin got my spot.
Sean Colvin was one of the performers. Well, I guess the thing is that they, you know, like, initially it was going to be all local folks, and then the band, those Crosby, Stills, and Nash guys, were like, could we have some people that we've actually heard of be part
of really?
This? Oh, really? Yeah, and so, like, they got Sean Colvin and
Jason Mraz.
Oh, really?
Yeah, who are two of their favorites, apparently.
Wow. I don't even know who Sean Colvin is.
Sean Colvin is a really great singer-songwriter.
Really?
I became aware of her in the very early 90s. She had a contemporary hit song called Polaroids. That I always really loved. But she was just kind of one of those, like, you know, Suzanne Vega, Tracy Chapman era, like before all the Lilith Fair.
Right, right. Yeah.
Female identity musicians became popular. There was this group of really talented singer-songwriters working as just sort of solo artists. And struggling to make a dent in a world that really was not necessarily super friendly to female singer-songwriters.
Right, right.
Sean Colvin is, like, undeniably really great.
I'm gonna have to check her out.
I think some of her early records.
Was Polaroid, like, a huge hit?
It was not a huge hit. It was a hit enough that I, you know, like...
It was on the radio?
My attention. It was on the radio, but it would have been, like, on The Mountain. As opposed
like, Q. Well, I've probably heard it then because my mom would, like, on Sunday mornings blast The Mountain and then start vacuuming because my room was in the basement and she did not like me sleeping in past like 9:30.
Right.
So it was like she would just on Sunday morning, she would start vacuuming and she would blast The Mountain to wake me up.
And then just inject
you with
botulism.
I'd storm upstairs in my boxers and my boxer shorts and I'd just be like, Mom, God!
God, I'm trying to sleep.
God.
You don't care about anything I do.
This was like a week ago.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So anyway, so you get invited to do this thing.
Yeah, and I sang one song with John Roderick, who in the Long Winters, and I have worked with him for quite a lot.
We
have a good harmony rapport. I sing harmonies with him all the time, and it's really it's good. Our voices sound good together. And then I sang a song that is not a Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, but it's a David Crosby song from when he was in the Byrds.
Did you get to pick the songs that you
did? I didn't get to pick the one that John and I did because John had picked them. Anyway, it was I picked the one I did partly because they needed to make it was important to have a balance of songs written by each of the three guys. Like it had to be pretty. Yeah. I don't know how it didn't have to be like. Mathematically equal, but it had to be pretty close. And Crosby, Crosby did not.
Did he have the most like doable voice for you then, or something? Or
no, I mean, I can sing really comfortably any of their things, but I just don't really. I don't like Crosby, Stills, and Nash that much. I mean, I do.
Oh, okay, I thought you were gonna say.
Well, I should say. I should say. No. I really. What I love about them is the blend of their voices. Like it is like the three voices come together to make this fourth amazing thing.
Cool. Their harmonies are amazing.
It's truly amazing. And so you almost don't even notice the lyrics or what the songs are. And that's really more like how I view it. So, but Everybody's Been Burned, which is the song I did by Crosby.
Okay.
I've known that song really my whole life because I grew up in a very Byrds friendly household.
Right. So I mean, this had to be. I mean, you're standing there up on stage. Was it just you're looking down at Crosby, Stills, and Nash?
Yeah.
Eating their dinner,
mm-hmm.
and you're singing these songs. I mean, what's going through your head? Well, are you just like nervous?
I was a little nervous, not terribly. No. It was more just like, the venue, the Sky Church, the MP, where it is.
So that's that main stage as you walk into the place. And it's a huge stage, like, with the lights in the back.
The massive screen behind you.
Yeah.
And I've played there a handful of times. Mm-hmm. It's a great room. It's just so large. I mean, the ceilings have to be 100 feet or whatever. And so it was that. And then also, you're singing to people who are eating dinner, and that's an uncomfortable scenario sometimes. But, you want to do a really good job. Like, the main thing you want is to not blow it. And it so happened that, I mean, I know that song really well, and I sang it pretty good, I think. But, I had met I'd met Crosby and Stills the night before at a kind of combination rehearsal and party at Paul Allen's band rehearsal space.
Right.
And that place is like, it's the best rehearsal space that you could ever really want.
It has to be.
And you take a shuttle drops you off there and you don't really know where you are. And it's,
Are you like, they blindfold you?
They didn't do anything. No, nothing like that. But it wouldn't have blown my mind if they had.
Right.
But like, it was such a, during the afternoon, it was all just like the guys in the house band who are all people I know and have worked with a bunch of times. And, the people working on the crew were also people I knew. And mm-hmm. it was like Seattle guys.
Yeah.
And then, the rest of the people start trickling in around dinner time, and it's like, oh, it's David Crosby. Wow. He really looks just like David Crosby. Oh my God. I can't believe he's alive. It's shocking that he would be alive. And Stephen Stills. Oh my God. They are people I have been aware of literally my entire life. Yeah. I have never, there is no musical consciousness of mine that doesn't include them in some way, either for positive or negative. And they were really nice, like shockingly nice. And I didn't really get a chance to hang out too much with them because I was too busy being amazed that Dan Rather was also there.
Dan
with
Rather?
With a camera crew.
From
of CBS News.
Yeah. What?
I know. He was doing a... He was following them around with a camera crew.
Wow.
And it was just
I think if I ever
bizarre.
Met... Yeah, that sounds bizarre. Dan Rather is like one of those guys. Dan Rather and like Harrison Ford. Like if I ever met them,
yeah,
I think I'd be kind of comfortable with them because they always have come across as father figures,
right?
You know, and they kind of look the same, and they kind of look like my dad.
Huh.
It's like so. I've always thought of Harrison Ford as my second father.
Well, I hope that if you meet him, you should tell him that.
I'm sure I will, and it'll make it weird. You know,
I heard an amazing story that I can't possibly do justice to involving a guy I know a little bit accidentally breaking the toilet on Harrison Ford's private jet.
What?
As Harrison Ford was flying him from New York to L.A. Anyway, I'll just leave that hanging. but yeah, it was, you know, the show was very good.
Yeah.
And they played one song and got this big award,
yeah.
And then we all did this like all-star jam at the end where everybody who had played that night got up on stage and sang Teach Your Children Well with them. Not my favorite song. But it was really fun to do it with them.
That's one hell of an experience, man.
Yeah.
Did you get to go to this, Shenandoah?
No, I did not.
Oh, man.
Well, she was welcome to come, but she had other things going on.
I had a
like
dinner.
What?
I had a dinner party at my house.
Yeah, there
someone,
was a house full of rowdy women.
Someone may have incorrectly remembered which night the show was.
Aha! Aha! Back to dates. Were you sad to miss something like that? Like,
I was. I really like watching Sean perform.
Uh huh.
Plus Jason Mraz.
We just had Chris Walla in the studio last week, and he was telling a story. I can't remember who Death Cab was playing for, but like they were doing something very similar,
mm-hmm.
and it was full band, like, and they were playing, you know, the songs of whoever it was, and Chris Walla was playing piano, and he said, yeah, you know, I just don't think I'm that good of a piano player, and that when they went backstage after the song was over, he mentioned something to the piano player and was like, you know, sorry if I butchered that, and the guy said something to the effect of, yeah, it was pretty bad.
Aww.
And that just sounds like a total nightmare.
Usually,
like
that's
like,
the worst thing
usually
that
people
could
don't
to
right, people right. don't actually say that. I mean, in a way, I feel like I would prefer it if the person said, yeah, you did butcher it, to being like, oh,
I
know, man,
you.
That was fun. It was fun.
Because then you're always wondering.
And you know they know. You always know when you blow it.
That just seems like, I mean, I was never good at learning other people's music anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just like something in my brain that didn't click or something like that, you know, but...
Sure that's what it was.
For,
not that you didn't work hard enough.
That was probably a
It was a brain problem.
Yeah. He just called me out. That was like Chris Walla walking backstage. This is my walking backstage.
Exactly. And I am Chris Walla to your you. And
How does that work?
This is getting tricky.
Yeah.
I would say...
When's my wife's birthday? I can't remember.
I believe it's June 9th. My wife's birthday is Valentine's Day, so that's very easy.
Oh, that's simple.
Chris Walla, by the way, is I've worked with him many, many, many times, and he is one of the most precise and accomplished and diligent musicians that I've ever known.
I
don't know who this jerk was with the piano, but you can feel free to give him my number.
Billy Joel.
Damn your eyes, Billy Joel.
Well, I know you guys have to get going here, and sorry for messing things up earlier.
Oh, that's okay.
It was like 18. It's just out there in the ether. 18 minutes of awesome
boring
conversation.
There's a lot more than 18 minutes of me blathering on about various things. The aftermath of the Crosby, Stills, and Nash show was simply that I was about to leave, and David Crosby was leaving, and we made eye contact. And he's like, I would say, a full, almost maybe 2 feet shorter than me, but at least a foot and a half.
Yeah,
he's not a tall guy. And he looks like every picture you've ever seen of him.
Right, right.
Really, like, his look has not changed. But we made eye contact, and he was like, good voice. Strong high end. And then just left.
And then just left.
And it was like, hey, thank you. That's really, you ought to know. it was meaningful.
That's cool, man. Yeah. That's got to be one heck of an experience.
Yeah, it was an experience music project.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Yeah.
Ba-dum-tsh. So what's coming up? Anything? Are you guys going back out on tour?
Well, interestingly, we've been doing these Long Winters reunion shows
for
the
10th right.
anniversary of When I Pretend to Fall. We have three more of those,
okay,
which are in L.A., San Francisco, and Portland.
Awesome.
December 4, 5, and 7. And sadly, for me, Shenandoah will be on a different tour, and so she can't come and play those shows because I'm also opening the Long Winters shows, the Sean Nelson band.
Okay.
So I've got a ringer. To try and stumble through a kind of makeshift version of the set without her. Because she really is, like, she's the show.
No.
I'm just the face.
And where's your tour going?
I'm doing a little 10-day tour with this poet named Andrea Gibson up and down the West Coast. And then in January, I'm going to Australia and New Zealand, doing 6 weeks over there.
Do you do pretty well down there?
Yeah, I love it.
Really?
I haven't been to Australia before, but I went to New Zealand about a year and a half ago and did a 5-week tour there, and it's just awesome. I love going there.
That's so great. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's got to be a great feeling, like, knowing that you can go to this far-off place and, like, have people that that appreciate your music and come out and check you out and stuff.
Yeah, I would say they appreciate it more than some other places, in fact.
Like where? Oh, please, you can't just leave it like that.
No, they're just, they're really appreciative. The New Zealanders are very appreciative. I think of any like American indie musician who makes it to New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never been.
Oh.
Sad, really.
Sad. Long pause.
Well, someone's got to stay home and take care of the dog.
That's right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
This has been a lot of fun chatting with you.
Indeed.
And hearing some stories. So best of luck on the upcoming tours.
Thank you.
New music coming out anytime soon, Shenandoah?
Maybe.
Yeah?
I'm recording some things.
Cool. Excellent. Well, let us know when it comes out because we'll play it.
Cool.
We'll do that. What should we go out with today, guys? I guess we don't have any like collaborative recordings that we can play for the both of you. So somebody's going to be out of luck.
Yes.
Somebody's getting two songs. Somebody's getting one song.
I think you should play Shenandoah's song, OAO, because that's the foundation of all of it.
I love
for
it.
For us.
I love Aww. It. That's what started it all.
That's what started it all.
All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And where can we find you guys on the web? Let's plug your wares really quick.
No, I guess
is
I
there a SeanNelson.com?
No. Well, maybe there is, but I don't own it.
Sean Craven?
There's another guy. Would you believe it? His name is Sean Nelson.
Yeah. Yeah. He's an actor, right?
No, that's a different Sean Nelson. The SeanNelson.com, I believe, is owned by, I think there's a country singer named Sean Nelson.
Ah.
But then there's also like a weird logical positivist philosopher or something who does a lot of like how to optimize your fucking profitability seminars.
Marketing strategist.
I don't know exactly. Yeah, I don't know exactly what he does. But yeah,
Sean has a Facebook.
I have
music
a Facebook
page.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I always forget that I have a Facebook music page, but I do.
So go to Facebook, type Sean Nelson into the search bar. You find
it. Should
that
be the
way.
Seventh or eighth one down.
There you go. There you go. And Shenandoah?
Is I have
Shenandoah Davis?
ShenandoahDavis.com.
.com. All right.
I'm the only one.
There you go. There you go. Well, thanks again, guys. And you can find us at air-raid.net on the web and also on Facebook. and on Twitter at Air Raid Net. So yeah, this is
OHWAY.com .com.biz
by Shenandoah Davis. Oh, have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you.
You too.
Yeah. I hope you eat and take naps and watch football and all the good things, and I hope you're safe. So if you get drunk, stay home, right?
Get your drinking done early and then go driving.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.
Since our